You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendapper. Thanks for being here. 1 o'clock Eastern time on a Saturday. Appreciate each and every one of you. So we started our discussion yesterday on Sheriff Nanos. Again, this isn't a let's bash law enforcement, let's bash Sheriff Nanos session. What this is we need to understand what is going on behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, quite frankly, with the leader of the Nancy Guthrie investigation. And does that have any impact on the investigation? Has this been part of the problem that here we are? Oh my gosh, are we on day 85? I think we're on day 85. Please in the chat, let me know if I'm off base on that, but I believe we're at day 85. We need to understand what is going on in the background. So yesterday we talked a lot about the different factions that, if you will, that Sheriff Nanos is having to face, okay? There are several things going on concerning Sheriff Nanos. Let me get him up on the screen. This is taken from one of his most latest interviews. So we talked about yesterday a couple of things very specifically. We spent a lot of time talking about Heather Lappin. Heather Lappin was who went up against him when he vied to be the sheriff of Pima County. She actually worked in the department. She was working for him. He was her supervisor, several steps up. Anyway, he opened, and we talked about this yesterday, but he opened up a full-fledged, not only one, not two, not three, not four, five investigations once she decided to run against him. And obviously that was a really big deal when you decide to run against the sheriff and they decide to open up all sorts of investigations. We read this yesterday. There was basically a review done. And this review was done to determine if Sheriff Nanos, by all these investigations, he placed her on leave, everyone. Now, he did at least pay her. It was paid leave. But wow, if you can imagine, I've never been on leave or gotten in trouble. I can't imagine what it would be like to be told you can't come in the office. You know, there's an issue. I know a lot of FBI agents through the years. Remember, that's 28 years in law enforcement. So, of course, you're going to see a lot. I know there was a lot that happened to different agents in my tenure. Typically, it revolved around alcohol, misuse of an FBI car. I'm just going to tell you what was told to us when we first showed up. They said the three B's will get you in trouble: booze, broads, and bucars. So, anyway, that was the running, always has been sort of the running acronym in the Bureau in terms of how to get in trouble. So certainly we called it being on the bricks. That means you're on the bricks, but you're still getting paid. Now, I have to be honest with you, during my time in the FBI, and I know this stopped shortly after kind of the old timers started making their way out, but we were actually, at least on the squad I was on, again, I had a Hooverite that was my supervisor. The famous, infamous, most amazing guy, like a father to me, Dick Ludwig, rest his soul. And Dick, when people got put on the bricks, other than if it was something, criminal, that's a whole different matter. And we had a few of those, not on our squad, but generally in the bureau when I was in. In other words, like stealing evidence, you know, somebody who killed somebody, things along these lines. Obviously, that's a whole different deal. But if somebody got in trouble because they took their view ride and met everybody afterwards and they got in trouble for that, when they got their 30 days bricks, we would all chip in, all of us. We were forced to. And we all chipped in and gave money so that that person's family wouldn't suffer the brunt of, you can imagine, if you were in the case of the Bureau, about the majority of the FBI agents had wives that stayed at home. They were the breadwinners. They had extremely, obviously, busy jobs. And we, as squad agents, we actually helped cover them when they got brick time. Again, if it was for something like misuse of a Bureau car, even somebody who got in trouble for some drink-related situation. I'll give you an example. There was an agent who, and this is pretty egregious. Well, actually, I don't even want to say. It was stupid, not egregious, but basically did something that wasn't smart because they were having a couple of drinks and left their gun where they shouldn't have. They got it back, but just kind of dumb. So obviously, they got in trouble for that. And so anyway, in these situations, the culture, the FBI culture that I grew up in, and believe me, it's really changed, but the culture I grew up in was when your fellow BU agent, if they happen to do something stupid, we covered for one another. When I say covered the expense of being out. So Sheriff Nanos, and this is why we're discussing it for those who might be wondering. The reason this is important is whenever you have the head of an organization who is in charge of such an investigation like this, it's really, really difficult to have the backing of your supporters if they have no confidence in you for a variety of reasons. A lot has recently come out. Something came out since our last show that I saw after our show that we're going to talk about, because this interview, wow, it was something, I got to tell you. But essentially, where we're at is we talked about the Heather Lappin case. That's a $2 million lawsuit that Sheriff Nanos has hanging over his head related to essentially how he treated Lieutenant Lappin when she made the vie to run against him for sheriff. She lost by just between 400 and 500 votes. So it was extremely close. And I can only imagine that being put on leave, you know, kicked out of your job, 5 investigations started against you, that I wonder if that changed anyone's vote who maybe didn't do a deep dive, wondering if they had a bad egg and didn't want to vote for her. So that's one of the things I just want to say is the leader of the Nancy Guthrie investigation. That's one of the things he has hanging over his head. Just 1 minute. I'm going to let Simba back in. It's hot out there. Come on in, baby. So that's one aspect. Second thing that's going on concerning Sheriff Nanos is the Board of Supervisors. And this was the big revelation we didn't get to yesterday because I didn't know about it yesterday. We certainly talked about that the Board of Supervisors had essentially asked for several questions to be answered. Those questions included what happened when he was in El Paso. I want to make it clear. This is like in the 1970s. This is so long ago. I laughed yesterday. I think I was literally in first grade, something like that, when he's going through this. But basically, they needed to know or want to know his employment history, why he left. They want to know about his interactions with ICE, because apparently there's something going on there They wanted to know about the budget, which concerned me because remember back about 2015 for sure. And prior to that, he was under investigation by the FBI for misappropriating funds from his budget. He ended up not getting in trouble for that. In fact, somebody else with his department ended up getting in trouble for that. So it wasn't that there wasn't anything the Bureau was looking at. They were looking at the funds, and the funds were certainly not spent on what they were supposed to be spent on. So nevertheless, that's what currently is going on now, is the Board of Supervisors is asking about that as well. They also want to know about retaliatory issues that might have concerned between Sheriff Nanos and other individuals in the department. I want to talk about really quick before we're going to go into the interview of Matt Hines, who is a doctor, a physician, and he is on this board that is looking at what was submitted on 4/21. So this is all very recent. 4/21, that is when a 22-page document was submitted by Sheriff Nanos to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, answering the questions that I just went over. Now, they actually have the power to get rid of him. So just to let everybody know, they do have that power. Nevertheless, Matt Hines went on with Vargas on News Nation, and I was absolutely shocked at what he had to say. Oh, this says 84 days. I thought we were on 85. Thank you for letting me know, Donna. I'm going to go over, because this is new information from yesterday. We had talked all about these Board of Supervisors, what they could do, what Nanos faces, depending on what they decide about the 22-page report he submitted. They do not have to have a response back. They're going to take some time. On May 12th, 2026, we're going to hear what they decide. But I tell you what, we have heard now, this really surprised me, by one of the members, one of the board members of the board that supervises. And you're not going to believe what he said. Again, Dr. Matthew Hines, he says they have already reviewed, or he's reviewed, I think everybody has reviewed. Yes, they have the power to get rid of him. They have reviewed the 22-page response. Dr. Matthew Hines says this. He says that he's not satisfied with the responses. He felt he did not answer directly different questions about why he left El Paso. Trust me, it gets way worse than this. He says, and I never knew this exactly. I listed what they're looking at, what El Paso, the issues he had at El Paso, right? Gambling, excessive use of force, insubordination, something about a vehicle towing, which he was insubordinate about, right? So those were the main allegations that led to him being suspended on 8 different occasions. Now we know, because of what Nanos submitted and Matthew Hines being on this board and coming forward publicly, we know that in fact that Nanos was suspended for 37 total days. It's kind of a lot of days, 37 days. He said, and I'm going to near quote, I'll paraphrase a little, but he says Nanos beat a robbery suspect who was in the back of his vehicle and handcuffed just almost to the point of death. That was the first I ever heard that, right? Now, excessive use of force, I have to tell you, there are excessive use of force charges, or not charges, but investigations that are lodged against law enforcement officers all the time. Most of them are nonsense. And that's why I love body-worn camera now, because now you can't lodge these silly complaints against law enforcement officers that have done nothing. So for that reason, it's just a wonderful thing that body-worn cameras exist. I think it protects both sides. It protects law enforcement from being accused of things they haven't done, and it protects individuals from getting beat up with a flashlight in the back of the car and that not being seen. And if you turn it off, you get in trouble, you know, locally, you know, within the department. It's obviously not against the law, but it's going to be against the department's policy. Flashlight beaten near to death, according to Dr. Matthew Hines, who sits on the board of supervisors. He said so strongly, he said, and again, I want to be clear, this is back in the 80s. Okay, this is back in the 80s that this would have happened. He says that we shouldn't even know Sheriff Nanos's name. He never should have been in law enforcement. He's perpetuated a fraud for decades. He's an embarrassment. These are his words to a 1500 man and woman squad. He had a forced resignation from El Paso. He lied about that. He said the department was sued over the beating that he gave the robber in the back seat. He said, when asked about, but listen, this is decades ago. This is decades ago. This is in like the late 70s, early 80s, all this stuff. I guess I believe he was there from 1970 to 82, as best I can tell. We haven't seen the documents, but that's from best I can tell from everything. And so I do want to be clear. This didn't happen yesterday. It didn't happen 10 years ago. It happened in the 70s and 80s. Like I said, I was in grade school back then, or depending on in the 70s, but I mean, growing up, you know, junior high, grade school and junior high, it's a long time ago is my point. I'm not a spring chicken. So nevertheless, it's a long time ago. And so some might be asking or arguing, you know, why are we even discussing this? This is decades later. Well, I think the point is, if you really look at somebody's ability to become a peace officer, this is the point Hines is making. He's like, he should have never been a peace officer. He should have never been a peace officer because he lied to become a peace officer, and that he's an embarrassment because of his past, because of his lies, because of what he's done. I mean, he makes some pretty good points. But what I'm most concerned about, personally, as somebody who's following the Nancy Guthrie case, who cares about justice and finding Porch Guy and solving the case, how I'm looking at this is, yeah, but does this affect Sheriff Nanos? Well, I think it does. Look, instead of leading and being out in the forefront of what's going on, he is dealing with all these messes. A $2 million lawsuit that, at least if you believe this, it's got merit. And this is independent. They weren't able to do anything against him. The individuals who did this audit that I'm referencing here, because he's an elected official versus an official who is hired. So because of that, nothing can be done against him. But that doesn't mean this $2 million lawsuit, that their findings won't be used for her to win her lawsuit. So he's got that hanging over his head. But to me, the biggest thing he has hanging over his head is exactly what I talked about here. And that is what this board of supervisors is going to find, because they have teeth. They have teeth. And now we've heard from one of them. I'm just like, geez, do you really need to, May? I mean, unless everybody else is going to buck up against what this guy has to say, you know, seen this a lot. This seems very, very powerful. And this guy, Dr. Hines, doesn't want anything to do with Sheriff Nanos being sheriff. That's what I took away from all of this. His mind is made up. He spoke. Let's see, the 21st is when Nanos turned everything in. And this interview was done the night before last night. So when I saw this interview, my jaw dropped. I thought, well, who's this? He's somebody who really hates him. No, he's somebody with power over him. He not only hates him, has no respect, feels he's an embarrassment. These are his words. He wants him out. He thinks he never should have been in the first place. And that has teeth unless somebody else on this board of supervisor goes against him. It seems to me we have a great part of their answer. He points out too, he says this, that, and this is another part I agree with. You can't have a leader of a case that obviously has possible cross jurisdiction with the FBI. You're asking the FBI in later and you have issues against them. I'm going to play two clips. I first want to play the clip that shows the truth, not the later mush-mush that wasn't the truth about Sheriff Nanos. Did Sheriff Nanos invite the Bureau in? Did he want the Bureau in? You know, what's going on? So let's take a look and see what he initially said. Here we go.
The first night, Saturday night, it was just us.
So sorry, let's go back because this is important. Again, you can call it a misspeak. You can call it whatever he wants. But he says he was out there Saturday night, not Sunday. Here we go.
At that time. But it really is about getting our partners out there. To be fair, when we went to that scene the first night, Saturday night, it was just us. Since then, the FBI and others have asked, can we go and see it as well. And that's what you've been seeing. But it is a very important case to not just me and my team, but this entire community, all of our law enforcement partners. Suspects. I know there's been a lot out there about suspects, and I want to be very clear.
I want to stop right there. You know what he's talking about there. I think everybody knows is the initial indication that Tommaso Cioni was a suspect. That's what he's talking about. He makes it more clear later.
At this time, we have not identified a suspect or a person of interest in this case. We are working our best to do that. But to be clear, we have nobody of interest or any suspects that you would consider a prime suspect. We're just not there. We're not there yet.
I want to do a quick point. That I'm seeing in chat that I totally agree with. And this was a huge error made in the Idaho 4 case. I don't know if you remember this, but Chief Fry was coming out. Oh, there's no danger to the community. Other things. Look, I love Chief Fry, to be honest with you. He got the FBI involved within 2 minutes of that case, within minutes of knowing what he had. He had 60 agents on that. He had the state crime lab there. He wanted help. He knew he had a little teeny department and he knew they didn't have the expertise to handle this case. And he brought the Bureau in, and I will always say the Bureau led that case. Yes, Chief Fry was in charge on paper, but if you look at who was really running things, making the decisions in concert with Chief Fry, it was him. Chief Fry, because he had problems with PR, just like Nanos, this problematic issue with PR, there's professionals. And finally, Chief Fry got $1 million grant to have somebody else talk about the Idaho 4 case other than Chief Fry. That really helped. But at the end of the day, right after the case, he retired. He ran for sheriff. He lost by a huge margin. And then now he ended up going to a different state and has a 6-person department that he runs. That to me, even though that case was successfully solved, it was solved within 5 weeks. He really, when you look at everything, a job fairly well done, because right away he got crime scene people that knew what they were doing. He got the Bureau involved in post haste. Chief Fry did so much right to make sure that that case was solved selfishly, right? And he just was horrible at speaking to the media. And he got this grant, somebody else spoke. And this is one of the biggest problems with Sheriff Nanos is his mouth, I think. But the only reason that that is important. Again, why does this matter? It matters because your troops lose confidence. And when your troops lose confidence in the leader, you can imagine you have to have a strong leader. You don't have to like him. A lot of leaders, no one likes him. There were a lot of guys in the bureau no one liked. But you know what? They respected him. They respected their abilities. And unfortunately here, you've seen a complete implosion of confidence. I mean, they had a vote. This isn't just me throwing out that, you know, or looking at what these people have been saying, you know, all the sources that are coming forward that are either in the department or know somebody in the department. The ones I've seen aren't even in the department, but they know somebody is who isn't in the department and they come forward and say something. So when you look at that situation, I'm not judging it from source information. I'm saying we had a, but they had a vote and he was 100% voted no confidence of those who voted. There were about 60 that sat out, but why didn't they vote that they had confidence in him? They kind of just remained neutral, I think, so they wouldn't get in trouble if he ended up staying. Let's go on.
The timeline, I think we've got it on the board, do we not? This is a timeline that we have been able to develop with some of the things that we've had processed, various pieces of electronics that we've gathered. And you look at some of this, and I know you're going to say, well, why did it take you so long to get this to us, Sheriff? Well, because one thing, it's got to go out and be processed at different lab sites. And sometimes that stuff comes.
Did you hear that? It has to be processed at different lab sites. Look at what we know now, everyone. I mean, we know if we're to believe ABC and their source reporting, they broke this, that this is at, that the lab DNA is at 5 different labs. We know from Nanos, because he's told us, that there is more than one sample of things. We also know now there's a hair, right? That's been confirmed. The FBI spokesperson confirmed it. I did a tweet on it right when it came out, that, and they sounded irritated. They said, this is not new evidence. This is evidence we've been wanting for 2 months. That's what they wrote. And now we have it or getting it. Remember when all this happened? I have to be honest. I supported Nanos' decision at the time, because what he said was all things were equal. And we know that lab is a very good lab. It's a prominent lab. That wasn't the problem. And I thought, like many of us thought, you never want to start all over. You do not want everybody having to redo profiles and figure everything out again, because when it goes to another lab, they start all over. And we thought, oh my gosh, the time involved in that. Nancy's life is on the line. This was early on when she was kidnapped. But this is what we know now. They are now guising it under, yeah, but the FBI has expertise that the other lab didn't have. This is the problem. The FBI always had that expertise, and the FBI pointed that out in their statement. They said, we had that expertise 2 months ago. They're making it crystal clear. We begged for this hair. We didn't get it. Now we're 84 days behind. Or at that time, this has been a couple of days now, about 80 days behind. It's just mind-boggling, I believe, what has been said here. So if you didn't catch it, the beginning of this, he points out he didn't reach out for the FBI. The FBI reached out to him. Now, why would that be? Why wouldn't you reach out? You got a kidnapping case from day one. They said, this is foul play. Looks like an abduction. Why wouldn't you reach out for the FBI right then on the first? Check this out.
Who does that?
Oh, let me get by with beginning. Sorry. Here we go. Listen close.
Am I upset at the FBI? Absolutely. They should. They get by with saying no comment. Who does that in today's world? Who does that? Yet they get by with that. And when this thing's all resolved and the case is all over, I challenge them. I challenge Mr. Black to stand up to that camera by himself and say, we have looked at this investigation and we have exonerated, completely find this investigation to be total BS, because that's what it is.
Okay, that clip I just showed you was from 2016. This was in the middle of this investigation, public corruption investigation that the FBI ran because of funds that were misappropriated. When you have government funds that go to departments, if you misappropriate them, in other words, typically what that means is you use it for personal use. Those are the cases I've been involved in. They literally take money that's given to a department, like a sheriff department. In this case, it was $500,000. In this case, that did happen. That's the bottom line. It happened. And it's just that Nanos wasn't found responsible. Somebody else within the department was found responsible, but it did happen. I don't know if he was the fall guy, but I can tell you that was a successful investigation. And you saw, I don't need to tell you, you heard what Sheriff Nanos said when you dig back deep into the archives, 2016, this is how he views the FBI. And this, I would argue, is why, no matter what he says, no matter what touchy-feely we heard later, you know, the FBI has always been involved, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the FBI called you, which they will do on something like this, and say, listen, we have some expertise in kidnappings. Do you need our help? And he said, no. No, they were fine. And it wasn't until, and I should have pulled this clip, but it wasn't until that later press conference where the ransom notes are coming in and now they've got to take action, right? They need the BAU, the Behavioral Analysis Unit, to help with what the Guthrie family is going to say. They need experience, which they've never had a kidnapping. It's not, when I say a kidnapping, other than, I'm not saying that they've never had a parental kidnapping, you know, where one parent takes the child. I'm talking about a real kidnapping with a external unknown force that comes in and snatches somebody. That is unique. They are rare. The FBI has the most experience at those. And the FBI was offering and extending their help. He didn't need it. They didn't accept it until the ransom notes came. And in this presser, if you've watched it, he said, we are maintaining control of the case. He goes, other than the ransom notes, he turns around. He says, the FBI has the ransom notes kind of through. I need to get that because it's funny. It's kind of funny to watch because what it shows me is he didn't even want to give them that. But he did, you know, for whatever reason, maybe just, again, the you know, sentiment was coming up.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky. And I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack. And guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild. And we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, again, the three things he has hanging over his head. We've talked pretty extensively about two of them. One, Heather Lappin, $2 million suit, the person that ran against him. Number two, the people with really all the teeth, the Board of Supervisors asking for him to explain those four items I just went over. Why did he have to leave the El Paso department clear back in the early 80s? They want to know about those suspensions, eight suspensions lasting 37 days, gambling, excessive use of force, insubordination. Their point is he should have never been in law enforcement. Okay. Those are the two problems that we've talked about that he has. But there's a third one. And this is funny because this is the one that everybody talked about first, but I would argue the one that will not happen. And this is the recall campaign. This is headed up by his rival, Daniel Gutierrez. Daniel Gutierrez wants to be sheriff. And back on March 12th of this year, they started this petition. They have to get 122,211 signatures by July 10th, 2026. That's an average, I believe, of about 1,019 signatures per day. They have to be actual voters, people who are registered in Pima County. Listen, it's not going to happen. That's my opinion. So, and even if it did, remember that'd be a recall election. Then you have to have a full election. You have to have different people on the ballot. That's not going to happen. What I think is more likely, and what I think happened here, if we really look at this, what happened was the recall campaign, remember the $2 million lawsuit, and the Board of Supervisors then all of a sudden came in after all of this is going on and said, you need to answer for your past discretions, because they're affecting your current discretions. So kind of different things here, right? Lappin is mad because how she was treated when she decided to run. The Board of Supervisors is mad that he ever became sheriff, arguing he should not even be a peace officer because of how he acted as a peace officer, which they argue was criminal. Should have been a civil rights violation. That El Paso was sued actually over this beating. Now, to be fair, and we have to be fair, this is what Dr. Hines is saying, right? This is what Dr. Hines is saying, but he sits on the Board of Supervisors. My point is, I have not seen the photos of the guy. He said he was in the infirmary for months. I'm picturing something right out of Shawshank, actually. He says that he, meaning the beating and how some of those beatings, oof, rough beatings. He says that essentially that beating, he should have been charged and never should have been in law enforcement. So those are the two things we've talked about, right? So one is they're both looking at past things Nanos did, in their opinion. The issue with running for sheriff and what he did to keep her down. And then the supervisors are looking at really more his past, although they're looking at the budget, they're looking at how he intersects with CBP and certainly some other issues. And he's already said, we got Nanos's answers and we don't like them and they're not sufficient. On May 12th, they're going to come out and officially say something, but it seems like they're probably going to officially say what he just said the other night on Vargas. So those are two, but we're going to deep dive into the recall campaign because that is at the heart of what should concern all of us, right? To me, the others, I mean, it just shows obviously an integrity issue. It shows that you have the leader of this investigation sidetracked. You can see now why there's a vote of no confidence, because they know about what happened to Lappin and they know about the El Paso issues, right? So we understand it. But that is in his past for the most part, other than I told you about the CBP stuff and the budget stuff that they're also looking at. That might be more, though, of a, you know, they're casting the net, right? But when we look at what Gutierrez is saying, he's saying, listen, he's mishandled this investigation, and that's why we got to get him out. That not because of anything in his past, because of what's going on in the present. And so that's what I want to concentrate on. You can see why I didn't want to do this yesterday, because we talked so much about the other. So first of all, I want to talk about some things he did right. Anytime you do a case, anytime you do anything, a presentation on something, you just have to, you can't ignore things that were done right. So I'm going to say a couple things that were done right. First of all, he quickly made this an endangered missing person. He quickly got posters out. He quickly recognized he did not have what I would call a wanderer, you know, an older person that wanders off, which we've seen. Pima County just had one the other day, and I posted all about that one. In fact, her name was Nancy, and a lot of people thought, because they were very ambiguous about the whole thing, a lot of people thought Nancy Guthrie had been found because of this sort of ambiguous, "we found Nancy" post. It was pretty bad. I still wonder if that was at all done on purpose for the people who aren't newsies, who aren't into true crime, just your average person that's kind of loosely, when I say loosely, barely listening to anything about this, and they hear that Nancy's been found, they're like, "Oh, that's good." They keep driving, right? That's the majority of people. I keep trying to say there are such a small percentage, even in Pima County and even in Arizona and throughout the United States, that know anything in any detail about this case. So nevertheless, that came out. And so at least he got this out. Vulnerable adult. He put this out really early. He also, to his credit, I know where this is going, and I'm going to say it. To his credit, he quickly got homicide detectives involved in this. To his credit, he knew there was an issue. I mean, doesn't take a rocket science, but which I always say about law enforcement anyway. But not to be mean, I mean, I was law enforcement my whole career. I'm not sure. I have the utmost respect, hardest working, dedicated, everything else. But typically, you don't have to be able to solve quadratic formulas and physics equations to be able to be in law enforcement. You have to have a lot of common sense. You have to work your butt off. You have to be exhaustive. You have to be honest. You have to be a lot of things. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. If I've offended anybody, I'm sorry, but you just don't. I shared the story that was so funny in my class where Stonehead, our fit instructor who played for Virginia Tech, who was an absolute beast of a man, said to our group the first day exactly what I'm saying. And then he points out to Mike S., and he says, you right there, you're not a rocket scientist. Before he came to the Bureau, he could have pointed to anybody else at the whole academy that day and asked that question, been fine. But Mike S. was. That's what he did for a living. He was a rocket scientist. And so it was just so funny. But sorry, other than Mike S. being a rocket scientist, for the most part, that is just not what law enforcement needs. I don't mean to digress on that, but my point is that it was obvious that they had issues. They had blood. They had a Ring camera or a Nest camera that was yanked off, right? So, you know, she's gone. The family has no idea where she is. They know that she doesn't have any cognitive disabilities. Two doors in the back are open. I mean, this is all indications of something other than a wanderer. But I still want to give him credit that he recognized that, right? He recognizes that. He gets a detective on it. I mean, I know I'm going to touch on this. What detective did he get on it? Well, now we know that he got a detective on it that had 6 months experience. That's a problem. When you're talking about literally one of the most important cases that your department, and arguably, I will say, the most important case, the most publicized case, let's not use the word important, the most publicized case you're ever going to have in your career, Savannah Guthrie, the daughter of Tucson, one of the most successful people ever to be born, or not born, I'm sorry, raised from the age of six, I believe, in this community, Nancy Guthrie, a prominent person. People know about her, except the pizza guy that tried to deliver pizza to the social media YouTuber. People know who she was. She has one of the strongest presence in social media. We already did a full segment on Nancy Guthrie, her political views. They are extremely strong to the left. She was not afraid to speak her mind. And so people knew about her. She was prominent. This family was so successful. Annie is successful, a poet. She's a professor, instructor at the university. She has a jewelry business. She's published. It's hard to be published. Anybody can self-publish. It's hard to be published. To write something and have a publishing company stick out their neck, think it's going to be successful, and put the money into what you've published. It's hard. It's real hard. She's been published. Tommaso. He teaches AP, you know, advancement placed type classes concerning biology at a charter school. He's like, these people are just no slouches. I'm not saying you have to have this kind of great education and be, you know, not to be considered a slouch. I'm saying they're very successful in the areas they have chosen to work out. Most important case from that perspective, publicity coming in, everyone looking at it, and you put a 6-month detective on it. So I'm glad he recognized it, but you can't put somebody without investigative experience. And that goes back to what this select board, they're called board of supervisors in this case. That's what this board of supervisors is looking at. One of the areas is, was there retribution toward others in the department? And they're getting at this case, in my opinion. They're saying, what were the guys with 10, 20, 30, you know, time behind the tiller? There's nothing that replaces time behind the tiller in law enforcement. Without doing it, you can't hit the pitfalls. You can't learn. You're going to learn every day in a case, no matter what. And the more cases you have, the more you're going to learn. And you can't put a guy with 6 months in on a case like this. You might ask, well, why? Well, I'll tell you why. This is just my opinion, okay? I always say when I'm moving from opinions from facts to my belief. So my belief in this case is because it's about control. He wanted to make sure that the guy that was going to be in charge of this was loyal, could be under his thumb, and wouldn't go off and tangent off that he had loyalty toward him. That's my belief, because I've seen it all too many times. So let's talk about some other items. Not getting the Bureau involved, okay? DNA. Crime scene. I mean, this crime scene situation. He actually at least admitted to it. He said, yeah, you know, I've made some mistakes. This is a major mistake, in my opinion, to not take the weeds, or not the weeds, the ivy, this plant that he used, had when he had that light in his mouth, he's salivating, he has to reach in at some point and get it. Could there have been DNA from saliva on this plant as he's doing all of this, dripping possibly from the mouth? I mean, I'm not saying he was ravenous. I'm just saying anybody put something like this, a little lipstick here, in your mouth. I'm just thinking about it and I'm salivating more. When you put something large like a flashlight, like that light in your mouth, you're going to create more saliva. And then when you use your hand to get it out, to put it in, to get it out, we don't know how many times you did that. You're standing right here. That's why I have this picture here. That could have been a absolute, you know, perfect location for there to be DNA, and you don't take it. And I have to say, this is after the FBI came and they didn't take it either. So, you know, there is that. But his decisions on releasing that crime scene right after they left, big, big, big mistake. My question here is, if, and this is why this all relates back, if he had not retaliated against, that's what we're hearing, you know, had issues with all of these guys that had all of this experience and decided to put a 6-month guy on it, Would a guy with 10, 20 years of homicide and or major case investigation detectives, would they have released the crime scene? We don't know. We're not going to get a no, but I would think no, they wouldn't have released the crime scene. I will say, though, also, because they treated this like a wanderer initially, that's what it was treated like for everybody to know. Even when they were talking to the family, they thought, oh, maybe the ambulance came in and got her. And that's why those doors were open and they came in from the back, as opposed to trying to get through the front, which was like a fortress. They got in from the back. They went in and took her out, and she wasn't able to call anybody past the time that she had an issue. Remember that pacemaker would also be communicating. That's what they initially thought, that either one of two things happened, right? Law enforcement. So they had everybody and their dog in there. Savannah talks about that, by the way, in her interview with Hoda. Again, I can just picture this crime scene with all these officers milling in and out, family, God bless them, milling in and out. All just trampled crime scene. And, you know, we saw it in the Idaho 4, right? Remember the kid that was in there that picked up the knife? And he's like, could this be important? Of course, it wasn't the knife. But again, you're trampling, you're putting your prints on everything. You're messing with it. It was never treated like anything other than a missing person wanderer. And just like what happened in JonBenet. In JonBenet, they actually held like a little mini church service in there with people. It's just, ugh. So because they did not treat it accordingly, I'm just asking myself, if he didn't have problems with his people and would not have punished some of the more experienced people, again, the guy came out, it's all documented publicly, all these people saying that they were punished and talking about their experience. One guy said he had, I think it was 20 years, something like that. He's like answering phones about people's missing cats and things along that line. So when you look at all of that, could his issues, this is the point, have affected this investigation? I think it did. Again, back to the crime scene. This is the FBI's third search, the third search. First day's Pima County. Couple of days later, the Bureau. Couple days later, this search. Everyone, no one got the cameras that were up top. Again, it was so dark out, but they did end up finding, remember, at 2:12, yes, 2:12 in the morning, it captures somebody. And I have the video where Pima County Sheriff, where Nano says it. Yeah, we have somebody on camera. And then he goes, oh, but it could have been an animal. It's so funny. Too late. You gave that, you know, spontaneous utterance that we always love to see in law enforcement, the truth. And then you kind of try to crawfish back. So nevertheless, again, this I see as one of the, a big mistake. Was it detrimental in terms of, was this camera foiled with or tampered with in those days, you know, in that week time frame? I think it was more like 5-6 days, something like that. No, it's not that I think that, but you can bet that if Porch Guy is found and if other people are found to have done this, this case is absolutely a gold mine for any defense attorney. They're going to love this case. I can't imagine being in charge of the FBI search team and having to be up on the stand and answer, why did you forget the two cameras that were on the roof? Why did you forget to search the septic? Why didn't you take the map? Why didn't you take the vines? And that's just what we know of, everyone. That's what I always say. We're just talking about cameras, vines, doormats. We're talking about the obvious, right? We're talking about the very obvious. What are we talking about when it comes to the small, tiny processing for DNA? You still have to process for fingerprints too, because sometimes people take their gloves off. It happens. I pray that that hair that was found is significant. We don't know where it was found. We don't know whether it was mustache, eyebrow, pubic, regular. We just don't know. But what we do know is the FBI wanted it. They have specialized technology, again, that now we know about, that now they're transferring it there. They're transferring it to the FBI because they have specialized technology. And guess what? They had that specialized technology clear back in February when that hair was retrieved from the house. That, in my opinion, so far, that's the biggest mistake that was made in this case, because we've lost around 80 days because of that. Yes, I know I'm going to hype it up again or irritate it. Just, this is up to the Bureau to do. Put the picture of Porch Guy up there. I'm going to leave it at that. Searches. Everyone, I looked back. He stopped the searches on day two. No more searches. He announced it. He said, we're not going to search anymore. They searched the first into the night, and then he stopped the searches. This, I got to tell you, I gave him so much. By the way, this is the head of the Cajun Navy. I just pulled his picture up. I wanted to pull up Madres Buscadoras, which I have her picture, but I just had so much to put up here, and it only allows 10, which is so silly. And I don't want to keep getting back into my library, which takes time. They're trying to modify. They did this huge search plan. I think it was 40 pages long. What they can bring, the dogs, their specialized, you know, drones, blah, 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 blah. They're willing to do it. Listen, people were knocking at the door, search groups, from the beginning to help in any way they could. He called it off and never uncalled it off. In fact, he said, you can't do it except for, I mean, he can't stop private neighbors from allowing these individuals on the property. He can't stop that, right? If an individual gives their consent, you're a neighbor and you say, come on, bring Mosque, Madres Buscadoras, come on, search all you want. But they're not going to do that. They want the support of the office. Now, they did go out and do some searches further out because you know what we found, right? They found 16 gloves, one that they say sort of matches Porch Guy's gloves that they're concentrating on, which, by the way, the one that ended up being the restaurant workers, from my understanding, and again, this is scrubbing the different times Sheriff Nanos has spoken to the media. Basically, it seems like the glove that everybody had an interest in wasn't the one that belonged to the restaurant person. That's what I gleaned from it, from what he had to say. It was one of the other 16. But anyway, there were a lot of gloves found, and sadly, these gloves match, and I have a picture of it. Again, I don't have it up here, but match a lot of the investigators, and they had those gloves tucked in their back pockets because everybody's like, well, how could there be 16 gloves within this 2-mile area? You know, the restaurant worker said he just threw his, he's a litter bug. Instead of keeping it in his car, throwing it away at work, he didn't want his car littered up, so he threw it on the side of the road. I just cannot stand people who litter. You know why? Because I always think about if I littered every day and you littered every day and millions littered every day, we would literally live in a trash heap. So it just seems so logical to me. Just don't litter. But anyway, this restaurant guy apparently threw his gloves, and that was at least one of these. We don't really know what's happened with any of the others. We only know about one of the 16, and we're not even sure what that was. Again, I want to give him credit where credit's due on this. I think they did a good job of when they got something that they felt was viable, that they would run it down. In other words, the two people that were detained, the males that were detained, their mothers were also detained, their houses were searched. In the first one, there was a local search warrant. In the second one, there was a federal search warrant. I was all for running those down. Look, when you get information from whoever provided the information, right? I think it's him. It looks like him. He's a delivery guy. He recently lost his job. He had to move back in with his mother. The other guy, you know, just came into this expensive vehicle. He's, you know, a criminal guy. He looks just like him. Look at his eyes. Look at, you know, when they do the layovers all the time. See, we think it's him. And then the Bureau develops information that likely, in my opinion, in local law enforcement works together. And they say, well, listen, his profile is looking a little dicey. Let's go find out. All you need is reasonable suspicion, which is the standard even below probable cause to be able to detain somebody. So that's what they did until they could get to the bottom of it. And they did the right thing going in. So I appreciate that they are taking seriously the leads that they scrub and they believe to be legitimate. So another hats off in that way. Let me see. The three main issues and the reason that I think this recall campaign really went in hot. Crime scene, we've talked about it to death. The DNA not going to the proper lab that had the technology, and putting somebody that was not as experienced a guy as they had in charge of this investigation. You add that all up and that equals problems. And that's why they're looking at Nanos. That's why the recall campaign started. The other two I said were started more based on his history, but I can tell you without the recall and without these mistakes that were made early, the Board of Supervisors likely never would have asked for these answers, you know, for this, these questions to be answered by Sheriff Nanos. All right, everyone, I have taken so much of your Saturday. I appreciate you guys coming on this late. We have one of our mods that is so far away and many other of our mods that always devote their time. I never thank my mods enough. I thank them sort of behind the scenes, but even then it's not enough. Everybody who is on this team, thank you so much. To each of you who spend your Saturdays and come on here and really are studying these cases and involved in these cases, I so appreciate you. I want to thank Sharon Crawford 76, love the cat, for becoming a member. Appreciate it. We do have if you are a $3.99 or above member, we have a cool, it's going to be August 16th or earlier than that, if the case is cracked. Before that, a little FBI basket for you that is real, original, few FBI things to send to you as just my way of saying thank you. It's the only thing I can do that's original. And so I want to do that for those of you who, you know, first of all, I appreciate subscribers. I appreciate members. Our membership started at $1.99 a month. And I know a lot of people, perhaps they have different memberships with different channels and, you know, it can all add up. But for those of you who have chosen to become a member of our channel, that's really what means so much to me. And for those of you who subscribe, and I can tell who subscribes because I can see your names going up and down because anybody who is a subscriber gets to chat with one another during chat. And it's the mods that keep that going. And each of you who care enough to have an opinion and share it and share your questions. So I thank you so much. Everyone, I will see you tomorrow. Time to be determined. It may be around the same time or we may do a 5. I'm really working hard to get an individual on the show, so maybe he will be able to join us to talk about a specific area. I'm also working on the pacemaker cardiologist, so I haven't forgotten about that. There's so much to deep dive into. I still have to do Cameron, and I have to do Savannah Guthrie's husband. I tell you, can I share this with you really quick before we go? I was preparing because I'm working on Cameron. He takes a lot longer because there's less out about him. But I just have to read these to you, what I was finding when I was looking. This is really going to gross some of you out. Let's see. This is about Savannah. I wouldn't be able to go back to work. She's a narcissist and mocked God on Easter. Everything with Savannah is suspect. When they need another ratings boost, Nancy will appear out of thin air. This is all one big joke. I can't believe you all are falling for it. Savannah is a fraud. I lost respect for her on the Trump interview. I'm so glad she's not my daughter. It's disgusting she went back to work. Nothing is more important to her than being an anchor on the Day Show. By the way, these are all different accounts, not one overlap. Nothing in all caps. It's all a BS scam. Savannah knows it. The whole family and the sheriff are in on it. None of this makes sense. It's been a nightmare from the beginning. The sheriff botched a sheriff's retirement shares, resigning. That didn't make much sense. He looks like an a-hole. Doesn't most everybody believe Savannah and her family are behind this kidnapping to give her career a boost? Again, these are all individuals. This is what I found just in this. This is just in, I don't know, 5 minutes of preparing for a Savannah's husband interview. It's hard for me to read all of it. Oh, I wanted to say, too, this about Sheriff Nanos. I thought it was the right thing when he came out and cleared the family. I agreed with when they cleared the Jax and Dylan and Bethany and all the other people they cleared in that investigation as well. In these high-profile cases, now because of social media, we're in different times. And if you don't clear people that you believe are cleared that had nothing to do with this, that are getting absolutely threatened, their life. I mean, people are crazy. They will take you out if they think you're responsible for Nancy. I mean, Tommaso, I can't imagine what he and his family still are going through because you still have all these crazies that think he's involved. All right. Anyway, don't want to digress. I just want to say thank you all for being here. And until next time, may justice be served for Nancy Guthrie and for all the missing.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.